The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Hey, welcome back, all you complainers out there. All you whiners, because the price of gas is now, what's the national average? The national average, we'll go, it is Steve Noble, by the way. Hope you had a great weekend. National average today, $4.32. So if you have your average 14-gallon tank, that's a little over $60. And quit your complaining with gas prices. Fortunately, the price of oil is down a little bit. It's come back down to a reasonable, I think, what is it right now? The market's up 1 point. We'll talk about that later today in the last segment with David Fisher. Crude oil down $7.30. That's good. It's down to $102, which the resulting gas price tends to lag. We'll see what happens. This isn't a done story, obviously. So the national average for regular is $4.32. The national average for premium, if you have one of those cars, is almost $5 a gallon, $4.97. And so people like Pete Buttigieg or Stephen Colbert, they have a solution for you. And it's going green today here on the Steve Noble Show. The studio, if you're on Facebook Live or YouTube Live, it's all green in the background. And on the background television is a picture of a Tesla at a charging station. So that's the answer, ladies and gentlemen, for all of you that are complaining about the cost of gasoline. The solution for you and for the nation, and quite frankly for the future of mankind, is for you to get an EV, an electric vehicle. So even though $4 and 36 cents a gallon is difficult, apparently at an average cost of $56,000, that's going to be your solution. So 56 grand is the average price of an electric car these days, this year. 56 grand, that's the solution. In order to alleviate your $4.32 a gallon, you need to go out and buy a $56,000 electric car. So when they say stuff like that to you, what do you do with that? How do you feel about that? How do you react to that? Pete Buttigieg, well, you know, gas thing, you know, you buy an EV, get an electric car. That's the solution. And then Stephen Colbert, the late night host, who's uber liberal. And he's saying, hey, I'd gladly pay $5 a gallon. I'll pay $15 a gallon to allegedly support Ukraine. But that's easy for Stephen Colbert to say because he's worth just shy of $100 million. So how do you feel when the liberal elites tell you that the answer to the high gas prices and problems with energy in your life and how much that costs you is to go green, i.e. buy an electric vehicle? What do you have to say about that? Or the whole push to go green anyway, or the elimination of fossil fuels and let's put up more solar power stations and let's get some big windmills out there. Forget the little birds. We're more important than the birds. Allegedly, and the fact that you can't dispose of windmill blades once they're toast, that's a environmental hazard. Got to talk about that. So how does that make you feel with the whole green push? That's my question for you today. I would appreciate you calling in. If you just want to call in and rant and get it off your chest, that's fine. 866-348-7884, 866-348-7884, or 866-34-TRUTH. Seriously, you're struggling with gas prices and the cost of living. They tell you the solution in your life is an electric vehicle for an average cost of $56,000. How do you respond to that? How do you respond to the liberal push to green every aspect of your life? Not that it's wrong that we start to do electric cars. There's certainly a future there. What do you say to the liberal elites that are telling you the solution for your gas woes is an electric vehicle? Bloomberg says electric vehicles will account for 70% of new vehicles by 2040. That's globally. That's a massive shift. Average price, like I said, this year, 56 grand, 59 models to choose from in the United States. 46,000 public charging stations out there. I'll give you some more details about that. Tesla profits, man, they're booming. 2021, $5.5 billion, up 6 times over 2020. So that's working out for them. Overall sales up 40% at Tesla. And over a 200,000-mile lifespan, your gasoline car will cost you a total of $94,540 over a total lifespan of 200,000 miles. Okay, your gas guzzler, purchase, maintenance, and fuel, you Earth haters out there, that's $94,540. But if you love the Earth and you want to save the existential threat to mankind and you get an electric vehicle, your cost over a 200,000-mile lifespan of your electric vehicle is only $90,000. So you saved $4,000. Good job. So a little bit more there. But what's your response when they tell you the solution for high gas prices is for you to buy an electric vehicle? What's your response to that? You want to sound off on this one way or the other? I would love to hear from you. It looks like we're having some problems with the phone lines because they're lighting up and then people are disappearing. They're dropping off. That's because the phone system is apparently operated on fossil fuels as opposed to electricity. And of course, you know, the electric charging stations, whether you put one in your house or you just go to a public one, those are powered by. Yeah, see, every single call is just disappearing. Those are powered by fossil fuels. So there's that. Okay, some more details about going green with your car, since gas is apparently too expensive for you and you're complaining about it. If you have a smaller car, it costs you about $11.50 to $23 per charge to get it fully charged. If you've got a bigger one like a Tesla, that's somewhere between $22.50 and $45 per charge to get 200 to 300 miles out of it. Okay, versus your automobile, where you're going to spend $60 for a 14-gallon tank at $4.32 a gallon. And how much you're going to get out of your 14-gallon tank, you're actually going to get, for most of us in the city, let's say it's you're going to get 280 miles, maybe 250 miles, somewhere in there. So it's not a whole lot cheaper. It's a little cheaper, but not a whole lot cheaper. Then how long does it take to charge since you're out running around in your car? If you use a level one charger, that's the really bad one. You can get one of those in your house. They're pretty cheap to install. That's 5 miles per hour that you can recharge. Okay, so that's going to take you a while. Level two, you can get 13 to 25 miles recharged per hour. So you can install one in your house for $300 to $700. That's an overnight charger. You can get a level three, which only takes 10 to 30 minutes for a full charge, and get one of those bad boys in your house. That's only $50,000. Plus your $56,000 for the average car, you're up to $106,000 to own one and then charge one quickly. No problems there. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is the Steve Noble Show, going green today, talking about the solution to the high gas prices for you. If you're complaining about that, is to get an electric vehicle. Average cost $56,000 over the course of 200,000 miles. The lifespan of a vehicle, the gas price is going to cost you $94,000. $94,500 to buy the vehicle, maintenance plus fuel, over a 200,000 mile lifespan. Okay, or an electric vehicle, you can save about $4,000. You'll come in at about $90,160 these days because they're so stinking expensive. Yet Pete Buttigieg and Stephen Colbert and a bunch of liberals are telling you, if you don't like high gas prices, the solution is buy an electric vehicle. So what do you say to that? That's my question for you today. What do you say to that suggestion? That's the solution. You need to go buy an electric car like a Tesla or whatever. 866-348-7884 is the number. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Michael's calling in from South Carolina. Mike, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. Go right ahead.
Yes, sir. I think one of the problems we have is we are accepting this whole climate change thing. The whole climate change thing is a lie. Back when I grew up in the 70s, they said it was global cooling.
Yes.
Then it was the ozone layer. Then it was global warming. Now it's climate change. So if it rains too hard, it's climate change. Mm. So I don't understand why we need to call this out what it is. It's a lie. Yeah, we need to take care of what God gave us.
Sure.
But we don't need to buy into this lie. Climate change, man-made climate change does not exist. Look at Al Gore. He predicted by 2012 the entire East Coast and the Panhandle of Florida would be underwater. Everything that these climate people say is going to happen never does.
Yeah, it's a great fear tactic, and that's one of the things that we're not supposed to do. But look, you know this, Michael, because we just are finally coming out of this two-year COVID nightmare, that it's really easy to scare the tar out of people, and then they'll just follow whatever the dictate is from on high. If you're going to reject God, you need somebody else to save you. So in this case, it's the government. And if the government tells you the earth is warming and Florida's going to be underwater in another 5 years, unfortunately, Michael, there's way too many people that actually believe that. They don't even question it. They just believe it.
Yeah, you're right. That's why the grounding in Christ comes in.
Yep.
You need to be grounded.
That's right. Exactly right. Michael, thanks for calling in,
man.
You're welcome. Have a great afternoon. Don't forget to charge your car overnight so you can get to work tomorrow. 866-348-7884 is the number. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. If you want to talk about this push to the Green New Deal in general, that's fine. Today, talking about electric cars, which I'm not anti-electric cars. This is like talking about vaccines, isn't it? I'm not anti-electric cars. We're developing that all the time. Why do we do that? Well, because we're made in the image of God and we innovate. We come up with new ideas. We try to better life on Earth. Which is why the quality of the air and the water in America is better now than it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, in the 70s when it was global cooling. Now it was global warming, then it's climate change. And you got to have a boogeyman. You have to in order to control people. That's why COVID was so convenient. I started listening to the Sunday special podcast with Ben Shapiro. He had Bill Maher on. Bill Maher from HBO, right? Who's kind of more of a classic liberal, meaning he's got liberal political positions, but a classic liberal is all about free speech and logic as well, right? So he torqued a lot of people off the last 2 years when he's questioning a bunch of the COVID responses and things like that. He's really anti-woke culture, Bill Maher. So he's bringing things to the table, talking to Ben Shapiro, where you're like, okay, he's just thinking, right? He's just thinking. And they talked about, you know, at one point, electric vehicles, yeah, which still require fossil fuels to operate. And so we're all about technology. That's cool. I'm all for technology. But at some point, if we're going to get off of fossil fuels, that's 50, 75, 100 years from now. That's how long it'll take. Because you can buy all these electric vehicles all you want, but you're still going to use fossil fuels. And then some of these snarky people on Facebook Live are bringing up things like airplanes and trains and cargo ships. What about those? Like, what kind of battery is it going to take to have an electric commercial airliner that can carry 300 people 7,000 miles? That would require, right now, with given technology, that would require so much weight and batteries, the thing wouldn't get off the ground, let alone roll to the end of the runway. But you can't think about that. You need a boogeyman. You need an enemy. That's why on that Bill Maher conversation with Ben Shapiro I was listening to earlier today on the way to the studio, Bill Maher cited in the New York Times, he cited a poll that showed they asked a bunch of Democrats, of the people that get COVID, this is less than a year ago, of the people that get COVID, what percentage of them end up in the hospital? And the poll result was 50%. So the average Democrat in this poll by the New York Times, which obviously is a very left-leaning organization, to say the least, the average Democrat thought that 50% of the people that got COVID ended up in the hospital. 50% when the actual number is about 1%. So how can you be off by a factor of 50? Think about that for a second. How can you be off by a factor of 50? 50% of the Democrats polled thought, or most of them thought that 50% of COVID positive people ended up in the hospital. 50%. And that's like Ebola level. Everybody's going to die. They make movies about this kind of stuff, right? Science fiction movies. But the reality is only 1% of the people that got COVID ended up in the hospital. How can they be so wrong? And could we take that and possibly apply that to the Green New Deal and the push for electric vehicles and to get rid of fossil fuels? Could it be the same thing that's behind that? 866-348-7884. What do you think's behind it? Let's broaden the question out here today. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. What do you think is behind the push to the Green New Deal, the answer to high gas prices is electric vehicles, driving the whole initiative about saving the earth? I've said this a bunch recently, that these folks believe this is an existential threat, just like Michael said on the call earlier, that Al Gore was saying that Florida was supposed to be underwater by now, and half of Manhattan should be underwater by now. What's behind that? What's behind the push? Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Biden's right along there, and now his climate czar, John Kerry, is flying around in their private jet with a family net worth of about $200 million. Isn't that amazing? What's behind that? Is it the same thing that was behind the crazy COVID stuff? Not just here in America, but around the world. Could it be the same thing that's behind something like, I don't know, the Great Reset? Maybe you need to go study that. Go look at the Great Reset. Just Google it, World Economic Forum, WEF, Great Reset. That's all you need to do, and go check it out. But for you, what do you say to the folks that are telling you the solution for your complaining about high gas prices is an electric vehicle? 866-348-7884. You guys are quiet today. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. What do you say to them, or in general, to broaden the question? What do you think's behind all this? What do you think's behind this? This is a massive push. It's not going away anytime soon. And it's going to affect you more and more every year. More and more every year. Until you're out of here, back to the Lord, or he comes down here and settles all accounts, whichever comes first. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show talking about going green. What's your response? 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. We'll be right back. Ooh, I was praising the Lord yesterday because I went to the gas station, and through our Harris Teeter shopping points, I got 40 cents off a gallon and filled up my wife's car, which unfortunately takes premium. So I was like, 40 cents off, man, that made a big difference because it brought it down a lot. But the average national average for gasoline, regular, not premium, okay, but just regular, is $4.32 a gallon. And for people like Pete Buttigieg and Stephen Colbert and a bunch of other liberals, the answer for you whiners out there who are having a problem, like in Stephen Colbert's case, he's willing to pay $15 a gallon for gas, but I suppose that's pretty affordable when you're worth just shy of $100 million. I don't think he cares what the price of gas is. He doesn't have to. But for you little peons out there, EV, man, that's the way to go. You need an electric vehicle, you know, a Tesla, whatever. But don't worry, because the average price of your electric vehicle this year is only $56,000. So your solution to high expenses with gasoline is to go get a car loan for $56,000. That'll take care of everything. So just, and plus remember, you're saving the earth and you'll keep Florida from being underwater by, I don't know what, July. So that's a good thing. Praise the Lord. You're a good person, good follower of Christ, and you love your neighbor as yourself. So get on board, will you? What do you do with that kind of thinking? 866-348-7884, 866-348-7884, or 866-34-TRUTH, or am I missing something here? Would love to hear from you. Let's go to Kenneth, who's calling in from North Carolina. Kenneth, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Hey, Steve, how you doing, brother?
Pretty good, man. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing the best you ever seen. Look, I appreciate your show, man. I just want to call in. A lot of this talk about the battery cars, electric cars and stuff, I don't know how many people actually that are considering that have thought about who's got the monopoly on batteries.
Yeah, and they're not exactly cheap. China, because all the things that we have to use, all the natural resources like lithium, guess who has that? That's China.
Yeah, why don't we just cut a deal with Russia while we're at it?
That's a great idea. And people wondering why China was jumping in on Afghanistan right away, because they have one of the biggest stashes of lithium in the world in Afghanistan, about $1 trillion worth.
Exactly.
But we can trust the Chinese, Kenneth, so I don't know what your problem is.
Of course, we bought into that so fast. Makes you wonder who's where.
Yes, yeah, it really is amazing, and I appreciate your laughter, because part of this you just have to laugh at. However, they are serious, and this isn't going away anytime soon.
It is. We laugh to keep from crying, but I say put Al Gore on his electric jet and send him away south where he gets.
Yeah, yeah. Well, too bad we don't have those yet. But, Kenneth, great points, man. I appreciate you calling. Thanks for your encouragement, too.
Hey, all right, have a good day, brother. Thanks.
You too. You're welcome. 866-348-7884. Maybe you just want to get something off your chest on this one. 866-348-7884 is the number, or 866-34-TRUTH. And somebody on Facebook Live mentioned this. By the way, you can join us right here in the studio where all the walls are green today. Just go to the Steve Noble Show page on Facebook or YouTube. I think we're still on YouTube because we haven't talked about COVID in a while. Oops. I said COVID. So maybe we'll be off YouTube by tomorrow. Who knows? But somebody mentioned, what about airplanes? He just mentioned that. What about trains? What about ships? You're not going to, those cannot be electric anytime soon. We literally do not have the technology to do that and to be able to move around the tonnage that they move around in order to feed people and move goods and services. And by the way, when the goods and services go up, like inflation, and that's why when they're looking at the cost of the Green New Deal, which AOC and all these crazy people are thinking, yeah, we can get there in 10 years. No, you'll bankrupt the entire world if you do that. You'll certainly bankrupt America more than we even are now. But you'll bankrupt the entire world. And guess who's at the bottom of the pile who gets destroyed the most when we start playing this game? Oh, that's right. It's the poor people who we're supposed to be caring about. That's the Democrat Party's recipient of their love and compassion and brilliance are poor people. But the poor people are the ones that are going to get absolutely buried under this. But again, these folks, I believe, don't care. It's an they see it as an existential threat. It's about power and control. They reject a biblical worldview. And so you have to figure out another way to make yourself righteous. And so how could you get any more righteous unless you save the entire globe? Man, that's the ultimate virtue signal. And I think that's a big part that's behind it. All right. And I'm all for electric cars and developing that technology. I think that's awesome. It'll get better over time. But you can't flip the fossil fuel switch today and turn on the electric car switch tomorrow. We're not there. Maybe one day, but we're not there right now. Let's go to Nick, who's calling in from here in North Carolina. Nick, calling in about electric cars. Thanks for calling, man. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, I drive a Chevy Bolt, a plug-in hybrid. It's worked pretty good for me.
So that's a hybrid. So it's got – how does that work? Help us understand, Nick, how a hybrid works, a plug-in hybrid, like the Volt.
Yeah, it's got a four-cylinder backup engine. I charge it. The battery, fully charged, takes me, you know, 30 to 35 miles. It's not as – doesn't have the range that the new electric vehicles have.
Yeah.
And as soon as the battery depletes, the engine kicks in. And so, you know, I have to put gas in it. Maybe –
sure.
Once every month, once every couple months, I, you know, fill it up with gas.
Do you use it for mostly around town kind of commuting, Nick, short distances?
Yeah, but I have driven it to Myrtle Beach and back, and it did just fine on with the engine.
Right, yeah, because it switched over to the engine. When did you get it, and why did you get it?
Well, this is used, and I bought it used. Several years ago. It's a 2013 model. So to your point, the new ones that will go a really long ways on one charge are expensive now. They're too, it doesn't make sense financially, but maybe in 5 or 6 years when they're used, I'm going to be looking at them, to be honest with you.
As they get better, range is a huge issue because if you can't find like a level 3 charging station, I'm going to drive to Chattanooga to go visit my sister or something. That's a 7-hour drive and I can't make it there. I'm going to have to stop and charge fully somewhere. If I can't find a level 3 charge and I got to go to a level 2 charging station, well, that's an overnight charge to get fully charged up. So it doesn't make any sense at that point. Then I'm spending money on meals and I'm spending money on a hotel. We're not there yet and I'm fine with us getting there. But to think that we can transition off of fossil fuels today and be all green tomorrow is ridiculous. But that doesn't really change the topic for certain people.
Good point. For me, it's a financial decision more than environmental. Every time I bring this topic up in a conversation, anybody, most of my friends are conservative, and they go straight to the, you know, how are we saving the planet by doing this? Well, probably not.
Yeah, you're trying to save your budget. Yeah, which I appreciate. Yeah, that's a good point. Nick, thanks so much for calling in. I appreciate you sharing.
All right. Have a good day.
Thanks. You too. And then careful, friends. If your friend buys an electric car, do you really need to, you know, slap an AOC sticker over their face and start yelling at them? I mean, relax, everybody. Take the time to have a conversation and actually learn something. Let's go to Steve, who's calling in from North Carolina. Steve, you're on with the other Steve. Go right ahead.
Good afternoon, Steve. How are you?
Oh, it's this Steve. Okay, all right.
I can't help but crack a big smile because I checked into this just a little bit. There's a town called, well, it's Kolwezi. It's in Africa. I may not be pronouncing it right. And that's where all the cobalt is. Mm. Which our friends in China have control of as well. They're talking about how the catastrophe is with all the young folks there and how they're getting basically paid nothing and getting all this cobalt out. And the land is taking quite a beating, too, to get all these things out. And yeah. By the way, how do they dispose of all those batteries?
Oh, that's – we launch them into space, Steve. You hire Elon Musk and you launch them into space.
Yeah. So my thing is I have a little business that – has an old van that carries around about a 40-foot ladder and a bunch of weight and another truck that carries a big trailer. And I'm going to be driving X number of miles to go put in whatever I put in. And I just can't see electric whatever staying the stay with us more than a year and having to change them batteries out,
yeah.
Number one. And then number two, there's a whole bunch of raw land in between the middle of the country, and I'm with you guys. I have a friend that flies a commercial jet airliner, and you both know him, but I'm going – how will that work on the batteries and getting off the runway? That one did make me smile, I have to admit. So with all the stuff going on, I needed a smile like that because that's pure idiocy.
Yeah, I hear you. Steve, great to hear your voice, buddy. Thanks for calling in.
Have a good day.
Thanks, you too. God bless you. And Tom, this was interesting. See, now this is where I'm fascinated by technology. I don't run away from it. And I think, listen, if you're going to replace fossil fuels, if you start working on the technology and you figure it out so that you can actually get a plane to be electric and fly 300 people, 7,000 miles, you're going to be a trillionaire. And don't you know there's plenty of people that are doing that? Fossil fuels are not unlimited. There is a limit at some point. So I'm all for that. But in the meantime, you know, this is transitional, okay? You can't just flip the switch, which is what they're talking about. Years ago, an Israeli company called Better Place had a model where you swap your battery like a propane tank for a gas grill instead of charging your battery. Their battery swapping stations took about 2 minutes to drive through, same time it takes to pump gas. Thought that's kind of cool. Yeah, there you go, Tom. Perfect example of human beings made in the image of God being creative, who can show deference to being a good steward of the environment while at the same time trying to make money, while at the same time trying to save you money. You know why we do that? Because we're made in the image of God, who's a creator. And most people at some level care about their neighbors. They certainly care about themselves. So just some more craziness of the world around us. When we come back, our good friend David Fisher, a little Money Monday update, plenty to talk about. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. Dow Jones Industrial basically even today. NASDAQ lost a little. S&P lost a little. Crude oil is at 102.05. Gold is down a little bit. It's in an interesting environment that we're in right now. If you go look at the Dow Jones Industrial and you want to go look at year to date, what you're going to see is you go all the way back to the beginning of the year. Let's say you go all the way back to, I don't know, January 1st or so. On January 5th, in the afternoon, 36,861. Right now, 32,945. So a pretty big drop over the course of the year. And it's a pretty wild ride. There's a lot going on. And for us to be able to understand and be good stewards, that's why we turned to our good friend David Fisher at Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com. It's his website, as always, to try to understand what's going on around us. David, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on your program, as always.
You're very welcome. Great to hear your voice in our Money Monday updates, which we do all the other Mondays in the month. And then the first Monday of the month, like we did last week, we do a full show with David. But in our updates, we always start the best possible place we could start, and that's to go to the Word of God. Isaiah 43, so let's start there.
So it says in verse 1, "But now this is what the Lord says, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not. For I've redeemed you, I've summoned you by name, and you are mine." Mm. So the Lord calls us by name, not only as by name as Steve or David, but other names, how he sees us, blessed, forgiven, chosen, overcomers, victorious in Christ. The Lord has obviously created all of us in his image, and if he is perfect without sin, he asks us to be redeemed by him and to follow in his commandments. But he also has great plans for us, and sometimes what holds us back is we don't understand how he sees us and how he calls us by not just our name, Steve and David, but the names that I mentioned, that we are forgiven, we are overcomers, that we are victorious in Christ.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful message, and we all need that reminder, especially when we're going through tough times, be them financial or physical or relational, whatever the case may be, that one of the praise and worship songs we sang in church yesterday had a refrain that was a back and forth, he is for you. And we have to, God is for you. If you're lost, if you're without Christ, he's for you, because that's why he provided a way for you to be reconciled to him through his son. But once you're his child through his son, then he's for you for the rest of your life and every aspect of your life. And it's so important and encouraging to remember that. I love that, how that ends at Isaiah 43:1. You are mine. So you know this, David, as a father. I learned it as a father. Once you have kids, if you have that blessing, that really gives you this whole nother level of understanding when you read the scriptures, and there's not anything really within reason I wouldn't do for our kids, including lay down my life for them. And God takes that to the nth degree beyond what we could think or imagine, and he's for us, and we're his, and he wants to do literally move heaven and earth for our good. And oftentimes we misunderstand what's in our best interest, but man, it's such a powerful thought.
I can say amen to what you said, and that is exactly the heart of the Lord that is placed in our hearts towards our kids when you have children.
Yep. Hey, amen to that. Amen to that. Thank you so much, David, for leading us off in that. So we've been talking about inflation a lot, and we just, you know, the numbers just we just heard got a little worse last week. So give us an update on inflation and what we might see in the future.
Yeah, 7.9% is what it came out as. The previous month was 7.4%. Food, energy costs pushed prices to the highest point in 40 years. When you strip out food and energy costs, called the core inflation, it accelerated 6.4% from a year ago. When you add those back in there, the food, gasoline, the gasoline index rose 6.6% in February. The food index rose 1.4%. Rent index went up 4.1%. That's the highest since July of 2007. And the UN is warning the Russian war in Ukraine could spike global food prices by as much as 22% coming up. And 18% of Americans, only 18%, say that their wages are keeping up with soaring inflation. So the Janet Yellen, Treasury Secretary, said she's expecting another year of uncomfortably high inflation, while the White House says moderate to the end of the, at the end of this year is what inflation will be.
Yeah, and I think we see the news about Ukraine and Russia and the loss of innocent life over there and all those horrible things, but I think a lot of people miss the fact that Russia and Ukraine are part of kind of the world's breadbasket. They supply so much wheat. It's really amazing what's going on there. And we can see gas prices come down, but food prices skyrocketing. And that's going to hit especially lower income people as well. But it seems like most of our leaders are missing that.
They supply corn and wheat to 50 countries around the world.
Man.
They are the fourth and fifth largest producers of corn and wheat globally. Yeah, so we're going to have higher food prices.
Yeah, and that really especially hits lower-income people. We've also talked on the subject of the Fed about raising rates. We know that's coming. I think it was supposed to be this week, wasn't it?
Tomorrow and Wednesday is when the Fed meets. More than likely, they're going to raise it at a quarter of a point. They might have been doing it half a point, but with all the volatility, Goldman Sachs, they just cut targets and stocks, downgrading them. They're also warning of a recession. Now there's a 35% odds of a recession. So the Federal Reserve is supposed to be pricing in, and the market believes it's going to be a quarter of a point. And the market is pricing in 7 rate hikes over the next 12 months. And also the Fed appears to be closing in on a plan to roll off their balance sheet. And UBS Payne Weber says the Fed wants this process to act fast. So that could cause a lot of market uncertainty and turmoil.
Yeah, and we should be getting used to that because it's going to keep coming fast and furious. What about just latest financial news with respect to Russia?
So, obviously, they've been getting rid of the dollar, and on Friday, President Biden put out an executive order that banned the exportation, sale, or supply of actual paper money, U.S. dollar-denominated banknotes, to Russia. And this is just another way of, you know, causing more sanctions financially. The other thing that happened last week was former New York Fed staffer Zoltan Pulsar. He sparked shockwaves, Steve, across Wall Street when his latest research piece suggested that because of this war with Russia, the Chinese People's Bank, the People's Bank of China, the PBOC, will soon emerge as a dominant central bank in the commodity-backed yuan, in other words, gold-backed currency. They're saying it could ascend to a position of power, threaten the dollar, and challenge it as the world reserve currency, although this is coming through pushback. But others are saying, Morgan Stanley is saying, this strategy is in China's playbook.
Yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
The way to overcome this, check this out, Morgan Stanley says, quote, is to buy physical gold and store it safely within your home's jurisdiction. Thought that'd be interesting.
Yeah, that's really fascinating because I don't know that any of us, David, can really understand what would happen if the U.S. dollar were no longer the world's reserve currency and it became all of a sudden the Chinese yuan.
It'd be a big challenge. There's another challenge happening for Russia. Wednesday, they might be defaulting on their payments due from bondholders. They're supposed to pay them in U.S. dollars, but they want to pay in rubles. So we're going to see what that happens. It's cheaper to pay in rubles because the rubles collapsed 40% here since February 24th.
Yeah, that will be fascinating to see what happens there. But relative to gold and silver, so when I look at the Dow Jones Industrial for the year, year-to-date, I see a lot of red. When I look at gold and silver, look at gold in particular year-to-date, I see green.
Yeah, the Dow's down over 9%, the S&P almost 12%, the NASDAQ just shy of 18%. Gold is up almost 9%, silver is up 11.3%. So we had some volatility in gold. It's been on the swings here recently, just like all the markets have not as aggressive. But there's Bloomberg News Intelligence said by the year end, gold could come out at the winter at $2,500. They're saying it's one of the best assets to have in your portfolio. And Rick Rule, a director of Sprouts U.S. Holdings, he said this, that the past bull markets in gold, it has climbed sevenfold, and that is very likely that gold will double or even triple by 5 years' time. So there's a lot of people out there who are not owners of a gold company, who are just analysts, saying, you know, diversify, get some money in this market, and I think we're going to see a lot higher prices, a long-term bull market.
Yeah, because they don't have a horse in the race. They have nothing to personally gain by telling people, hey, you might want to consider adding some gold and silver to your portfolio.
Yeah, and it might sound self-serving on my part, but there's lots of different kinds of markets and metals, and we can help you understand them, see if that's something you want to do, and choose what's best for you. You guys, the client gets to do that, and we're here because it's all about education.
Yeah, it's all about education, and I think we're all aware of the fact that financially the world is going in the wrong direction, and when you have that kind of situation, you need to balance out, you need to diversify what's on the other end of your teeter-totter, as I like to say. David, if people want to get an education, if they need some help, what do they do?
Easiest way is just call us, 844-604-2575. I'll say it again, 844-604-2575 or landmarkgold.com.
Wow, a telephone call actually talking to somebody. Is that what you're suggesting?
We have live people here, yes. I have a staff.
Imagine that. That's awesome. David, God bless you, brother. I appreciate your help.
God bless you too, my brother.
All right, man. We'll talk real soon. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.